Welcome to Flavors Under the Big Sky, celebrating the bounty of the region. I'm Stella Fong. In this show, I talk to Yellowstone Public Radio staff, asking them what food traditions or memories they have for ringing in the new year. Though I usually enjoy popping a bottle of sparkling wine on New Year's Eve, I discovered some of my fellow cohorts honored this time of the year with modest fanfare, if at all. Black-eyed peas and pickled herring were some of the special foods. Then there was Snip Snips and Scrapple. Let's begin with news reporter Kayla DeRoche, the newest member of the YPR team. How does she ring in the new year?
It's more of a lack of special things.
Okay.
I grew up in New York, so...
There were a lot of celebratory events.
There were, and I avoided them all,
right,
by not stepping outside the house as soon as I realized it was any type of holiday that people like to go to.
That there were crowds of people and hordes of people.
But my family and I would usually watch the ball drop from the safety of four walls of our living room.
I'm with you.
It's too crowded. One time I did venture out during New Year's for a party as an adult, but as a child, none of my family even considered leaving the house. I think as soon as the sun went down, we retreated and we just didn't step outside until we knew that it was safe. I just don't like the concept of being trapped in the center of thousands of people and then just being jostled towards the exit that everyone is going to.
Yes, yes.
So I've never been to Times Square.
Okay. Well, that is fine. You've
One
seen
day,
it on
maybe.
TV I have. Many times.
I've been a few miles from it, if that counts.
Yes, I think so. It's like that spirit of Times Square that is with you, wishing you a happy new year. Any food traditions, non-traditions, celebrations that you find that, okay, this is the new year, I'm going to have to go eat this or find that this is what I do?
I like to use the holidays as an excuse to eat badly, but other than that, there are no traditions that I follow up on.
Next, I talked to Jill Hershey, development manager, and Madeline or Maddie Alpert, who heads up underwriting and public information. We all have traditions in food, in celebrating. We find that food is that vehicle to just bring in that fun for holidays. So I want to ask you, is there a tradition that you have for New Year's Eve or the day of New Year's? Let's start with Maddie.
I guess I'm not that young anymore. I feel like I should have more traditions, but I feel like I'm...
Well, it doesn't have to be in traditions, you know. It could be something that you open a bottle of champagne or you feel like it has to be orange Fanta, you know, that brings it up something. I think that we do develop some, habits that we have,
you know.
Or celebrations of ways of saying, okay, I'm going to eat a chocolate cake because it's my birthday. Yeah, type of thing.
Yeah, so, I feel like every year for me, I mean, I've kind of moved around a lot and I've had different friend groups and, you know, family in different places over the last 10 years or so. So I feel like my New Year's has always looked really different, but I'm trying to think of food traditions. Definitely the main thing that's really important to me is taking New Year's to reflect and to talk to friends about goals and aspirations. And I think one of the things that I usually decide that I want to do on New Year's is like cook more of my own food and eat healthier. So I usually, after New Year's, I wind up making a lot of soups, investing in meal prep more often.
Jill, what are some of your traditions? Or
We don't have a lot of food traditions, I think. But one thing we always did, either for Christmas or New Year's, and growing up, we always did it too. We have this cheese ball that we would make.
The old cheese ball.
The old cheese ball, except for I really like this cheese ball. But always between Christmas and New Year's, somewhere in there, we would make 5 or 6 of them, and we'd take them to the neighbors, and we would take them to my aunts and uncles growing up. And so I still always make cheese ball somewhere in the Christmas to New Year holiday.
What's
so
in
we
a
have
cheese
it.
Ball?
So this cheese ball is really easy. It's got cream cheese and then one of those little jars of Old English cheddar that you can buy. And then some garlic powder and some Worcestershire sauce. And then you roll it in nuts and that's it. And so I don't have a recipe. I just add some garlic powder and I add some Worcestershire sauce until it tastes the way I think it should taste, which is how it's always tasted. Always somewhere in there from Christmas to New Year's, I have to make cheese ball. And it's funny because my cousin who lives here in town as well, if I come to things at her house, she's always excited if I bring the cheese ball because she also, growing up, got to have cheese ball because we always took it to them too.
Spreadable goodness. And there's something about the way it looks. It has that festive fun quality to it.
I think I thought of something that I usually
make
on New Year's.
Yeah, tell us.
So I'm not a great cook and I often get a lot of anxiety bringing food to parties or even hosting people at my house. I do it anyway, but I don't feel confident in anything that I can create.
And you shouldn't feel that way, because I always think it's not so much as the food you serve, but the intention.
Yes.
You want to bring people together, and people shouldn't be intimidated in gathering people, because it's such a gift.
One thing that I do feel confident in, I studied abroad in Spain and then spent a time in Budapest in college.
Wow.
And they had so much mulled wine that was such a tradition there. So I think I've like really perfected my mulled wine technique. And so that's one thing that I feel like I can bring to gatherings, either at my house or other people's house, that I feel pretty confident in. So.
Well, what's the secret to your perfection?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
You may not be able to tell us.
Sometimes, during the holiday season, I like putting cranberries in it.
Oh, yum.
I thank Jill and Maddie, along with Laura Voigt, who make great efforts to constantly gather the YPR team, making the station a fun place to be. Mulled wine and cheese balls will certainly help in keeping up the spirits. Next, I have Kay Erickson, the YPR news host, here in the studio with me. And by day, she reports our news, and by night, she's just this food culinary extraordinaire.
I call it junkie.
I didn't want to. I was going to say foodie or whatever.
Junkie works.
Food obsessed or
yes,
whatever.
That works too.
So what I'm doing is I'm talking to everybody here at YPR and asking them, what foods do you make or eat to ring in the new year?
The new year is a little more low key for us. The major holidays are when I have very specific things I do. Of course, Thanksgiving, we do a turkey, and it's usually brined because I find that that just makes it so much juicier.
I agree with you.
And Christmas, it's a ribeye, rib roast standing that I have a blackberry wine sauce that I make, and that is standard. And then at Easter, do leg of lamb. Mm-hmm. I have Eastern European roots, and that's kind of standard lamb and such. New Year's, it's all about finger food. Get up, watch the parade. And there used to be the time of all the bowl games. Now we'll watch some bowl games, watch some football, and then also stream movies or watch movies online. And so it's all finger food, you know, little smokies
noshes
wrapped in, you know, the good old crescent roll dough, which is a recipe my daughter picked up. And I used to get phone calls around that time. Or
so no cheese in that?
Just Super
just
Bowl.
No,
also there is a shrimp dip spread that I grew up with that came from my aunt, and I have no idea where she got it, but it's got cream cheese and a little bit of ketchup and canned shrimp and horseradish sauce, and it's just something always have had with chips or crudettes. It's just a standard that we do. So it's that kind of thing. And, you know, whatever other little recipe, little finger food strikes my fancy. I mean, I subscribe to anything and everything. So there's always stuff that I'm willing to try. And my family are my guinea pigs.
Oh, well, they're good guinea pigs then. And these just sound like just good old-fashioned comfort food to me.
Yeah, and, you know, you just sit around, are lazy, watch TV, and, you know, just relax before the new year slams into us and we all go off on our ways.
In putting together this show, it was fun for me to discover food preferences and heritage of some of the staff. Art Hooker and Ken Siebert shared a food favorite that surprised me as their celebration tradition for the new year. We start with Ken Siebert, program director, my boss. What does Ken do to celebrate the new year?
Well, not much. I'm not one of those huge partiers, but
right.
At this time of year, and traditionally, my family comes from the Philadelphia area. I was born here in Billings, but my family came from the Philadelphia area. So a lot of East Coast treats. Scrapple, I think, is the big one.
And tell the listeners what Scrapple is.
Well, Scrapple is sort of like if you take all the parts of the pig that no one else wants to eat.
Like the snout and the tail and the
intestines and all of those things.
Right.
And you mix them with grain, oats in some cases, things like that, and it makes a kind of a sausage. But instead of it being in casings, it's packed in bricks, and then you fry it and have it usually as a breakfast type food.
Right.
It's very good. I love it. It's got some great spices in it. There's a lot of people who say, oh, gross, with Scrapple, but Scrapple's one of those things. You You can't get it here.
No, you can't, but you can make it, right?
You can make it if you're that ambitious. Yes. There are a couple companies, Haberstadt, I think, is one of them, where from November through, I think, January or February, they will actually ship it to you. They don't do it all year, but they around the holidays.
Or you can harvest your own.
Harvest your own. Pig. Yeah. Yes, exactly. So Scrapple is one of those things. Scrapple and eggs for a breakfast type food. And then, you know, usually a lot of the same eating type things. We're a little different. We like our pickled herrings. We like our oyster dishes, things like that. My mom has a recipe for a bunch of oysters and butter, and I think there's crackers involved, and it's called oyster pie.
Okay.
But
yeah,
it's
this is very really, East Coast influence here.
Yeah, very much so, I would say. However, around, you know, Christmas, New Year's, there's also usually a beef tenderloin in there somewhere.
Okay, so you've got that Montana balance there.
Yeah. Pickled herring is one of those things. I just thought everybody ate pickled herring.
No, and does not eat pickled herring.
And the first time, oh, do you want some of this pickled herring? And people look at it like, what is... And honestly, when you step back and think about it, I mean, it is this kind of like gelatinous pieces of filleted herring in a white wine and sauce with some onions and pickling spices and things like that.
Well, it has a very, I think, intense flavor to it.
It is,
personality.
But when you grow up with it, you don't think twice about it. And so that's another one of those things where, to me, that's just, wow, pick up a can of pickled herring. Now, there was a company, Elf, that made the pickled herring that we loved for years and years and years. And Elf either went out of business or they no longer distribute to this area of the country. And it has been a search over the years to find the brand that best approximates the Elf taste, because that's the pickled herring of my childhood, is this Elf brand. And it's been very, very difficult over the years to crack open and be disappointed. And it's not the same flavor. It's not the same.
So can you describe what the ultimate pickled herring is? Does it have a certain texture? Is it more...
The briny piece of it is very, I mean, there's a real sharp, briny taste on your tongue. You know, obviously, there's not much to the texture of the fish. It's a little slimy.
Yes, is it more slimy or less slimy, or is it?
It's a little firm too. Right. That's the other thing. Really good. You do get that firm, at least in the middle, and definitely has. I don't know. It's hard to explain. It's just specific.
It was wondering, you know,
memory, and trying to find that. And I think there's a company called Duck Trap of Maine, and theirs is the closest that I can remember to the taste of mine.
Now we hear from Art Hooker, blues producer, broadcast operations specialist.
New Year's foods.
Yes.
The only one I can think of is pickled herring.
Pickled herring. You and Ken Siebert, I can't believe it.
It was my grandmother did the pickled herring thing every year for New Year's, German side of the family.
And how would she do it? How is it served?
Pretty much just, you know, like, here, have some pickled herring.
And did you welcome it? Did you say, oh, wow, this is really delicious?
I've always liked that kind of thing. Well, I've always liked things that were pickled to start with. But
right. So do you find that do you seek it out for the New Year these days, or do you just find that it is a great memory?
I like it so much, I'll eat it just about any time.
Where do you buy it here in Billings?
I lost my latest supply has stopped carrying it, so I am seeking a pickled herring outlet.
All right. You've heard this out there. Yeah. Art is looking for a new supplier. Thank you.
Happy New Year and Bon Année.
To conclude this first part of Flavors Under the Big Sky is Jim Nichols, YPR's chief engineer, technical director, who shares.
I mean, it's a larger family tradition than just my immediate family. They're not real keen on it. My dad used to make a dish called Snips and Snips.
And what is Snips and Snips?
It's kind of like a potato soup, really, is what it... The closest thing it reminds me of is, but you take caramelized onions.
Yes.
Take and put together dough mixture, like bread dough.
Really?
Yeah, and then...
Is this raw dough? Raw dough?
Raw dough.
Okay.
But you take and boil some water, and then you take and put potatoes in there, cook them for a while longer than the dough, and then you mix in the caramelized onions. Really a simple dish, but it's really good.
And is it like dumplings?
It's kind of like a dumpling dumpling, but with potatoes in there.
It actually sounds delicious. The caramelized onions
butter and onions, no, nothing better.
See, you left out the... Okay. So it's caramelized with butter.
With butter, right.
All right. And so you mix it together, and it's a dough, and it just gets like dropped into boiling water,
and then you let it, you know, you cook the potatoes longer than you do the dough, but you just pull the dough off in little chunks and throw it in there, and you get done, and you got this soup that's it's great.
from pickled herring, cheese ball, and scrapple. Come back for raviolis and black-eyed peas. In the second part of Flavors Under the Big Sky, we begin with Corby Skinner, co-host of Resounds.
This is the first year in 7 or 8 years that I've actually been in Billings during the holidays. I usually travel. Last year, Bogota, I was in Caracas, I've been to Buenos Aires, Tunis, Jakarta. This year, I'm not traveling. It's interesting because, as you might imagine, in the holidays, families get together. So
right.
Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, everything's closed. I do remember so well some great New Year's dinners that I've had.
Oh, please
share. I would tell.
Yeah.
A friend of mine bought a little monastery, believe it or not.
You would have a friend with a monastery.
A small monastery.
All right.
In Vintiana, which is a small mountain town near the Cinque Terre in northern Italy.
Of course.
And we got invited by the neighborhood for New Year's Eve dinner.
All right.
But the dinner is all chingala, wild boar.
Boar.
Every kind of wild boar. So there would be the first course, which is sort of the fat that had been grilled to spread on bread. There would be little ravioli, stew. Well, of course, my friend was a vegetarian. And so she couldn't really eat any of those things.
So did you get double servings then?
So what I did is I went to the market that morning and bought a giant bag of baby artichokes.
Okay.
Cooked those, then slow cooked them in the oven with breadcrumbs and lemon and olive oil, and took it to this party, which I think was presumptuous for me to bring food to their party.
And just as a side, their artichokes are just beautiful and petite, and they look like...
And you can almost eat the whole thing.
Yes.
Oddly enough, the people loved the artichokes, and I became a favorite of every mother in the town.
Oh. So, Corby, you just have that skill to just...
I also was a good dancer, so I danced with all their daughters. It was really a lovely time to be in northern Italy, and the way they celebrate, and it's really about family and food traditions.
Right, right, which is just lovely. And do you have another tradition you wanted to share?
Well, I was in Rome one year. Actually, I was in Tunisia, and we went to Rome for Christmas and rented a house for a week.
Wow.
And, you know, in Rome, everybody eats late lunches at 2 or 3, and then everything closes down, of course, for Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. So I went to the market and bought all these fabulous pastas and fish and salamis. And then we just got together, there were 8 of us, and just cooked for hours and hours to make our own sort of family tradition. I think part of the food tradition is also part of preparing and sharing traditions. So that is always the kitchen that I want to be a part of.
I echo Corby's sentiment of being a part of a kitchen that cooks together. Next, I called Anna Page, Corby's partner for Resounds, as she met deadlines for the Enjoy section at the Billings Gazette.
I thought that I don't really have a food tradition, but I might be starting one.
All right.
So my family was in town for Thanksgiving, and I have a bunch of bulk items that I purchased when Bonanza Health Food was moving.
Okay.
I don't know if you knew that they reduced their storefront and
yes.
they stopped carrying bulk. And so I was getting all these beans and peas and things, and I have a huge bag of black-eyed peas. And I know my father loves black-eyed peas. He grew up in the South. Actually, both my mother and my father grew up in Arkansas. And I said to Mom, well, why don't I make these for Thanksgiving? She says, we've got plenty of food for Thanksgiving, but why don't you save them for New Year's? Because it's for good luck or something.
Right. They are. They represent prosperity and good luck.
Yeah, so I'm going to try to cook that up, but, you know, I don't have the first clue on what to do with bulk dried beans, so I've got some research ahead of me, I'll tell you that.
Well, it sounds like a big pot or maybe ham hocks or something.
Ooh,
like that, you know, some onions, you know, boil it up. Of course, the craze these days is that Instapot. You may have to run to Costco and buy yourself an Instapot.
Instapot, I put it on my wish list, you
first,
know, Santa hasn't come yet.
Yes, that's right. Anna. I encourage you to listen to Sarah Brown, host of Field Days, who may give you some insight on how to cook up those black-eyed peas.
I'm happy to share our family traditions. So I am not from the South. I'm not from Louisiana, but my husband and his family are from Louisiana, and we lived for a long time in New Orleans.
Wow.
And we both wrote for the Times-Picayune, and I wrote for the food section of the Times-Picayune.
Oh, fine.
So that is where I learned to cook the traditional Southern New Year's food. So that's black-eyed peas.
All right.
Collard greens and cornbread.
That is, it doesn't get more Southern than that.
It's delicious.
And how are the peas cooked?
Well, so everything really is smothered. And what that means is sort of stewed in bacon fat.
Okay.
So you start with bacon and then the fat renders.
Everything's
better with bacon. And then the onions and the celery and green pepper and garlic and so forth go into that. And then those vegetables are cooked down and then the peas go in. And then you can cook them with chicken stock.
Aromas in your kitchen. I can only imagine.
It's amazing. Unfortunately, a few years ago, our daughter decided that she wouldn't eat pork. So now the vegan version of this meal isn't quite so
rich.
Luscious.
Yes.
Now I just cook it without the pork.
All right. Do you use imitation or vegan bacon or?
No.
All right.
No, I just use olive oil. I mean, it's really quite good.
Yes.
As a person who, I was a vegetarian from my teenage years, and so it's not too hard for me to recalibrate and just enjoy the lighter flavors and textures.
And then do you sit down and just eat this meal together, or is it just bowls of it over football or the parade?
Oh, no. No, we sit down. We sit down. And actually, this meal, sometimes if we're feeling, it's hard in Billings. Well, it's hard in our particular kitchen because we don't have a vent in our kitchen, and so frying catfish smells terrible for days and days. So,
okay.
But that is a really nice thing that we like to eat with this meal that I'm talking about. So the black-eyed peas, they symbolize coins.
I was just going to ask you.
And the collard greens, which, by the way, aren't always available here, but we use kale if we can't find collard greens, or mustard greens, or some combination of
that greens. That has that rich green color.
Symbolizes green for money.
Yes.
And then the cornbread, which this is a regional thing too, we don't put any sugar in. So the cornbread here is sort of cakey.
Yes.
In the northern plains, but ours is sort of dry and crumbly and definitely savory.
Right, to accompany the dish.
Yeah, to sop up all of that stuff. Yellow for gold.
Oh, all right.
Mm-hmm. So far, this hasn't come to fruition in our household.
It's coming. I'm sure it's building. Maybe this year, you know, it'll be there. The tradition of black-eyed peas also carry on in the Patrick Williams and recently retired senior political reporter Jackie Yamanaka's household.
I will just say that personally growing up, I really didn't have any food traditions for the holidays. And as I got to be an adult, that continued because I worked. However, with my husband, Patrick, we have adopted a tradition, and I'll let him explain because it's his family tradition in a way.
So in the South, there's a dish called Hoppin' John, traditionally served on New Year's, and it's made with leftover Christmas ham, black-eyed peas, and rice. And then the ingredients from there tend to vary depending on region. People from the Carolinas are horrified when I tell them what I put in mine because I make mine Cajun style.
Uh-huh.
Because my family's from Louisiana for generations, and so I start like I'm making red beans and rice, essentially.
Right.
I start with red bell pepper, onion, celery, the trinity of Cajun cooking, and then add the ham and the black-eyed peas and whatever spices feel good at the moment because I don't use recipes. But
and what spices usually feel good for you at the moment?
Well, for Cajun food, there's got to be some cayenne. If I've cooked the ham, you know, browned it in the skillet, I deglaze with Tabasco because it works great and it makes your eyes water.
All right. Yes, it does.
And then just, you know, some thyme, pepper, maybe a little garlic.
It's just onion.
Okay. He had the onion. Mm-hmm. And then?
And then cook it up, and there's chicken broth added to it for some liquid. And if the black-eyed peas are pressure cooked, I use the liquid from them because the starch will thicken up the broth until it's...
Right, and it provides flavor, too.
Mm-hmm. And then it makes a nice, thicker gravy instead of a runny soup. And then put it over rice, or depending on the part of the South you're from, you may stir the rice in. But I usually have the rice first and then pour this over it. And
how long do you cook this?
Like probably 3 or 4 hours total.
So that all the flavors blend and meld.
And I make the hush puppies.
Yes.
Oh, and what's in your hush puppies?
Oh, it's just your simple cornmeal, flour, a little salt. I add sugar. And then sometimes there's jalapeno peppers in some of them. I leave out the onions because we have dogs. So they get hush puppies. And then I'll do a batch without jalapeno peppers.
And eggs.
Oh, and eggs.
And they get fried up.
Yes.
Yeah, deep fried. And
oh, gosh. This sounds delicious.
They are so fluffy. And I would be remiss if we didn't talk about the symbolism of the field peas or black-eyed peas and why it's so important to have it on New Year's.
Yes, the ham symbolizes health, and the black-eyed peas symbolize coins with their little black circles on them, which is so you get health and wealth for the new year by doing it.
Finally, we hear from Kurt Wilson, Yellowstone Public Radio's general manager.
I think it has changed throughout my years. When I was younger and single, maybe, we would go out and, you know, ring in the new year. But you get married, you have kids, things change. So I think New Year's has changed for me as well. I can remember actually in college, one year went to Las Vegas over the New Year's.
That must have been crazy.
It was very crazy. You know, and this is back in the mid-80s, so I'm aging myself here a little bit. But I had a chance to celebrate the New Year coming in Las Vegas, which is probably the most celebratory New Year's I've ever had, just because of the place that I was and some of my college friends that I was with. But I think probably now are the most favorite New Year's was when my kids were growing up.
All right.
And what we would do is we would try to get all the kids to stick around with us as long as they could during that time period, and we'd have a game night.
All right.
So what we would do is again, I have lots of board games.
All right.
And so we would go down into the basement, and everybody would pick a board game, and we would try to play a marathon of board games the entire night. And they would invite some of their friends, so we would have a small gathering of teenagers. And we would, you know, eat food and celebrate and play board games. And
I'm glad you brought up the food, because since this is for flavors, do you remember some of the special foods that you had? Or you know, comfort food?
You know,
or
for me, a comfort food is a Ritz cracker with cheese on it.
Oh, love it.
Yeah, you know, so it's
in any particular cheese? Is it Velveeta?
It's the cheapest cheese I can find. No, it really, it's just a block of Colby cheese sometimes I would even go out on a limb and have a sharp cheddar.
All right. Yeah.
But no, you know, cheese and crackers. My daughters always, we'd get that sparkling cider.
Yes.
We'd always have to pop the top on
super
that.
Super special.
Yeah, that special night. You know, another holiday for me, it might not be necessarily on New Year's that we'd have it, but during the holidays for me, my favorite food is my wife's peanut butter pie. I beg her for peanut butter pie during the holidays, and it is the most luscious,
is it
amazing
a creamy
taste.
Peanut
it
butter, or
so
is it more like cheesecakey?
No, it's so peanut buttery and wonderful. And the best part of it is during the cooking process. It's not even cooking. It's just the process of making it is actually getting the beaters and being able to eat off the beaters.
Oh, I see.
So that's my favorite, really.
It's like cookie dough.
Exactly. It's before the pie is made is probably the best time.
As general manager, we're embarking on a new year. 2019 is upon us. What wishes do you have for our listeners?
I think the main wishes are just the normal, you know, peace in the new year, prosperity in the new year, being able to be with family in the new year. Again, being a family where now we live in different states from our daughters, that's important to me. So I wish that to our listeners and my staff as well, that they're able to spend time with family, with loved ones, and be able to have a really happy start to a new year. It's been tumultuous the last year or so, you know, from just what everybody has gone through in the country. And
right.
So I'm just hoping for everybody to have that warmth of family in the new year.
Thanks to those at YPR who shared their New Year food traditions or non-traditions and memories. I will toast in the new year with making sure I follow the practice of my mother with bills paid and house cleaned. I will open a bottle of bubbly and toast for a flavorful 2019. Theme music for Flavors Under the Big Sky, Celebrating the Bounty of the Region, has been created by Parker Brown. Additional funding has been provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communications on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanians. Thanks to you, listeners, for your support. Happy New Year. I'm Stella Fong.